Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I took her out. It was a Friday night. I woke alone to get the feeling right. We started making out and she took off my pants. But then I turned on the TV, and that's about the time she walked away from me. Nobody likes you when you're 23. And I saw more of you.
Joe Biden and social media have been blaming climate change for the natural disasters and the hurricanes. What do you think about that?
Well, I think if you look, there was a storm that went on this almost exact track in 1896. And it had 125-mile-an-hour winds, just like this one.
And I couldn't hear the very beginning of that, but the reporter was asking, you know, President Biden and corporate media have been blaming Idalia and other storms on climate change. And Governor DeSantis' response is, so 130 years ago, we had basically this exact same storm. And was that caused by climate change, is the implied response?
If you look at the state of Florida, the most powerful storm hurricane we've ever had is actually the anniversary is now. It's the Labor Day hurricane of 1935. It had 185-mile-an-hour sustained winds, the most powerful hurricane that's ever been made landfall in the state of Florida, probably in the United States, but certainly in the state of Florida. That ripped up parts of the Florida Keys. It killed hundreds of people. There were people that got caught up in the storm. Their clothes got ripped off their bodies. The wind was so strong.
So, again, the point being, you know, have we had big, awful, terrible storms hit when we weren't experiencing the so-called man-made climate change effects of, you know, too much breathing and belching and burning of carbon fuels? And the answer is, yeah, 1935, the worst storm that ever hit. Had nothing to do with supposed man-made climate change. And again, it's not that these answers, these illustrations don't prove one way or the other, but the point he's getting at is that every time there's a cold day, every time there's a hot day, every time there's a big storm, see, you're an idiot for not believing that people, by breathing and belching and burning carbon fuel, are causing climate change and destroying the planet. And his point is, you know, they had cold days and they had hot days and they had stormy days for a long time before we ever had any of these claims, right?
So I think that the notion that somehow hurricanes are something new, that's just false. And we've got to stop politicizing the weather and stop politicizing natural disasters.
Yes, just it's funny because it is. It's, you know, and by the way, my side does it too. Okay, when it's cold, right? See how there's not. Okay, first of all, you can believe that there is increasing heat. You can believe that there are climate changes going on. That's, first of all, not the same as believing that, again, breathing and belching and making babies and burning trees is causing the problem. You could believe in it regardless. But connecting this storm with that claim about a global trend, and then also connecting that claim about a global trend with particular human behavior, well, those are the weak points in this argument. That's what he's really getting at, that, you know, you had things in the middle of the century that you had a lot of storms going on.
We know from history there have been times where it's been very busy in Florida, late 40s, early 50s. You had a lot of hits of significant hurricanes. So I think sometimes people need to take a breath and get a little bit of perspective here.
Yeah, and also just remember that the existence of storms or of extreme – look, this summer has been extreme heat, no doubt about it. You heard the interview we did yesterday with Ryan Jenkins. Horrible, terrible heat. No doubt about it. Is that because you drive a gasoline engine? Well, that's the part where you've lost me, okay? But is there real heat? Is it a real problem? Sure. Yeah, of course.
But the notion that somehow if we just adopt, you know, very left-wing policies at the federal level, that somehow we will not have hurricanes, that is a lie. And that is people trying to take what's happened with different types of storms and use that as a pretext to advance their agenda on the backs of people that are suffering. And that's wrong, and we're not going to do that in the state of Florida. Thank you.
And there is kind of this, I don't think that most people who believe that people are causing, you know, massive changes to the climate. I don't think that most of those folks would be dumb enough to say, you know, if we only enacted our policies, we can prevent all hurricanes. I'm pretty sure most of them are not that crazy. But they are saying that there are more of them and it's worse because of what we're doing. And so when there's a storm, sort of, what I would like to see is, I'd like to see somebody who really believes in this, and there's a lot of people who really believe in it. What I'd like to see them say is, you know, Idalia probably would have had either way. But, you know, the B name storm, the C name storm, those look like they're caused by climate change, and then caused by people. And then tell me how you know which it is. I mean, that's fair, right? Because it's not that all, they can't all be caused by it. And if what you're saying is true, then it can't be that none of them are caused by it. Again, I kind of dispute that point. But, you know, show me some fairness in the analysis and tell me why it is that you think that these two storms either were caused by climate change, caused by people breathing and belching and making babies and burning carbon fuel, or why these storms, no, we would have had those anyway. You know, that would be a reasonable position, but instead you kind of get the, you know, every time there's something happens, it looks like the result of climate change, and that's clearly not true. So even though I don't think anybody would be dumb enough to say, no, all of these storms can be solved if only we stop doing these behaviors, but there's a kind of background premise that they're saying that when every time there's a big storm, they say, see how dumb you are for not believing in climate change, right? You see that. 616 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Candy has got traffic on the fives.
It's brought to you by Executive Landscaping, and not showing a lot. Bower Road, this is just south of Maltese Road in Pensacola, Maltese Way, rather. Looks like the road is blocked. Use caution there. We also got a text that said that there is a light issue at 9 Mile and Pensacola Boulevard. It says that is completely out. So that's the case. It's a four-way stop. Be careful. Hopefully it'll be back on soon. Executive Landscaping, big enough to do the job and small enough to care. 250-3756 will get you a no-hassle estimate from Executive Landscaping. If you have traffic tips, text those in, 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
You say 9 Mile and US 29?
Yeah.
Well, the good news is nobody uses that intersection. Well, I mean, fewer now with the overpass is there, but still.
Everybody uses that intersection. Yeah. Right? Yeah, so it's pretty busy. Yeah, I know.
All your turns. That's exactly right.
Yeah, so watch out for that light.
All right, Candy, thanks so much for the update. We have a relatively new advertiser on the program, ProHealth Florida, locally owned, female owned for more than 35 years serving Pensacola, best of the Bay, best of the coast, best of Pensacola with medical care, affordable medical care where you don't have to have insurance. And, you know, they have 7 locations now, Santa Rosa Beach, Gulf Breeze next to Whataburger, Milton, Crestview, Fort Walton, Pensacola on Summit Boulevard, and Pensacola on College Parkway behind the Sam's Club. And they have primary care and urgent care, walk-in hours, 8 to 4 in Gulf Breeze, Pensacola, Fort Walton, every Saturday, 8 to 1 at the location next to the Sam's Club. So if you've got a problem, you can go to them. Okay. Lab work is affordable. Occupational health screenings like TB tests and vaccinations and breathalyzers, all of that stuff they do. Comprehensive medical weight loss program. And this is the thing that I think for a lot of folks, it's kind of like the what now? ProHealth medical membership for $45 a month as an alternative to insurance. Unlimited primary care visits with a zero copay. 24/7 Teladoc services, annual physical, annual flu shot, 25% off lab work, which is already inexpensive for them, 25% off all procedures, monthly B12 shot, and there's no catches. So if any of that appeals to you, you want to know more, you want to understand, or you just need something medically, go to ProHealth FL, you know, just show up at any of the locations, or check them out online, ProHealthFL.com.
Hey, Pensacola, Dave Ramsey here. I want to talk to you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. They've been trusted members of your community for over 25 years. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors, and humidity issues. They test for duct leaks, and they do the repairs. If you need duct cleaning, duct repairs, or air filtration, you should call them today. Remember what Todd always says. If you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. That's 850-934-2768 or gulfcoastaircare.com. gasleak.com.
Quick, name two things that hiss. Did you say gas leak? If not, here are some safety tips. Look, listen, smell, and leave. Look for blowing dirt, dead plants, dry spots in moist areas, and bubbling water in creeks or ponds. Listen for a hissing sound near gas appliances or lines. Smell for a rotten egg odor. If you detect any of these signs, leave immediately and call Pensacola Energy at 850-474-5300. Snakes and cats aren't the only things that hiss. Learn more at PensacolaEnergy.com.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to The Fish House, Atlas, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be discussing Jackson's cooking class, Atlas beverage class, Jackson's open for lunch, Atlas Oyster House, and other fun things you won't want to miss. That's all tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both the Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage. Along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3, we'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
News Radio Pensacola. He's on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
You got to make up your minds. You want to stay alive and ante up? You want to play it cheap? Be on welfare the whole winter.
Aerosmith.
Okay, better.
I personally prefer the Dead Milkmen version. 621 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, man. You drove it up from the Bahamas? You must be kidding. I must be. The Bahamas are islands. 622 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. There's a bit of a something. Actually, there's two somethings. There's two ugly balloon animals forming out in the Pacific Ocean off of Africa. Looks like the one in the behind isn't going to even threaten us at all. And the one in the front is also very unlikely to threaten us. It's going to head like it's heading. You start to get a sense of when they show you these bubbles, the balloon animals on the map, like which ones are likely a threat. And that one at first when I saw it, I'm like, I don't know about that. It's headed right towards the DR. But no, it looks like it's going to bend north. Most of the projections, in fact, I think all of the projections have it bending north just as it, not even getting to the Dominican and Haiti, but then bending north and going up the Atlantic seaboard. So, and not even like enough to affect the eastern coast of Florida. So unlikely to affect us at this point. 622 on News Radio 92.3. Steve Taylor sitting in for David Wayne this week with our headlines. Steve?
Well, First Lady Jill Biden tested positive for COVID-19. Her office confirmed the news yesterday, saying the 72-year-old's experiencing some mild symptoms. She's expected to remain at her home in Delaware. The White House has President Biden tested negative for the virus yesterday evening. 2023 is a record year for SpaceX. The company had its 62nd rocket launch of the year on Sunday night when the Falcon 9 lifted off from the Kennedy Space Center, which breaks their old record of 61 set last year. And okay, hold the toppings. Today is National Cheese Pizza Day. Yeah, as if you need an excuse to order a pizza. My question for you guys is, what do you like to put on yours? And do you like square slices or the what I call normal?
You don't get
slices.
To ask two questions, newsman. You got to focus okay. For me. Okay. I got attention
focus
span for
on the,
one question.
The slice question.
Square slices?
Square slices.
No, you get your thumb gets in the cheese. Terrible idea.
Yeah, get your fingers.
You
all
need
greasy.
Crust for the holding spot.
Of course. That's my vote.
Candy?
Thank you. Pepperoni and normal, please. Yes.
Pepperoni and what?
Normal slices. Yes.
Yeah. Pepperoni and mushroom is the preferred. That's a good combination.
Oh, I like pepperoni and mushroom. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
the only one in my family that eats the mushrooms, so often I have to compromise and just allow pepperoni. You know, but that's okay.
Oh,
what
that.
Don't you like on your?
I don't
pizza?
Understand. I don't under green onions okay. And or green peppers and onions.
Anchovies.
Ruin. Anchovies are not so bad, but the green peppers and onions ruin a pizza.
You guys are both wrong.
Thanks.
Okay. What is yours?
Well, I mean, I prefer pepperoni, but I'll eat anything.
Okay.
Anchovies?
My family, my wife is a cheese only because she doesn't eat any of the meat that would otherwise come on it. But I don't really understand.
What if
the
you made burgers
only
on a pizza? They make hamburger on pizza. That's just not her.
Yeah, but you got to persuade her that it's really just hamburger and nothing else. Because a lot of times there's a little bit of other stuff. You know,
yeah. So. Okay.
Anyway, we're not going to ruin cheese pizza for my wife. She only eats five foods to begin with. Steve, thanks so much for the update.
Yeah, thanks,
625 on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
All right. When it's time to call a plumber, call the Best of the Bay winner. That's Barberry Plumbing at 477-8782. And it looks like we have a possible roadblock this morning. This is on Bower Road, and I'm not showing too much of a slowdown right now. I'm double-checking, so I'm not giving you wrong information. But, yeah, the... Because one screen will say one thing, and it looks like, okay, everything has been cleared. All of that.
Yay.
Never mind. Yay. I know. I answered my question. It looks like everything is running smoothly. 98 not showing any issues now. Lillian, also clear. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
You know, I think sometimes it's just me, and sometimes I think, no, it's just other people. But I sometimes find it fascinating what other people find surprising. When it seems to me to be an incredibly obvious thing. The New York Post, which, you know, even though it's a tabloid, it's actually one of the better sources of, you know, interesting news. And I don't know, they seem to catch stuff. It's kind of like the Daily Mail. You can never, like, at a cocktail party admit you read the Daily Mail, but they do kind of come up with a lot of interesting things. And then they have the other stuff. But same for the New York Post. But also because it's one of the few papers in the country that leans conservative, heavily so. The headline. Shocking number of U.S. workers have had sex with a coworker survey. And I thought, how is this shocking? Like, they're not talking about cheating, okay?
What's the percentage?
Let's see. 40%. They say that 40% of respondents admit that they've sort of ever slept with somebody that they worked with. And to me, I thought, that's 0% surprising. You know why it's not surprising? Is because the workplace is one of the, I wouldn't say great, but it's the obvious place sociologically where romance would happen. Because what does it take to produce a romance? Well, if you've got men and women in close proximity to each other, you know, what I like to describe as bumping into each other, but not really metaphorically, like you're seeing each other a lot and you're having conversations and you're talking and you're sharing your beliefs and ideas and your daily events and you're making chit chat. And also, this is crucial, you look nice when you show up to work, typically, you know, so you're putting on your best you, and you get to admire and be admired for the things that you do best, right? The professional endeavors that you're engaged in. One of the disconnects a lot of times between a working spouse and another working spouse or even just a home spouse is you don't get to see them in their successful mode. You see them in their highly stressed mode. They're at home mode. They're dealing with the kids mode. They're dealing with you mode, right? They're, you know, their ugly spots where they're not putting on a front for everybody else, right? You see them at their real as opposed to at their best. And, you know, if you, like, men are highly driven by praise and admiration, and so you go to work and there's some cute girl that you're working with and she's praising you and she thinks you do a good job because you're smart and you're leading your team, or you're getting affirmation from her, and then there's kind of that flirty noon. I mean, there's nothing surprising about this. This is 100% predictable that so many people would form romance. By the way, this is why, for example, infidelity is so common to begin at the workplace, because you typically get things from coworkers that you're not getting at home, right? You're getting affirmation and attention and just plain sharing an endeavor, something that creates its own bond just by the doing of it. I mean, look, there's the natural disconnect between people at home versus the natural connect between people at work. Again, I'm surprised that they're surprised. 40%, frankly, seems low to me. I wouldn't have been surprised if it had been 70 or 80%. Now, they say that the numbers of, like, infidelity, like while married, 13% of men and 6% of women. That seems a little high. But then again, if you think about the number of people who cheat, it's really not all that high. So anyway, I thought it was fascinating because, you know, to me, it's obvious that the workplace is one of the great threats for infidelity and also one of the great opportunities for finding somebody who's compatible with you, finding some, or at least beginning those relationships. It doesn't necessarily mean that you find a marriage, but how many, you know, Have you ever dated somebody from work? Have you ever, you know, found them? I mean, of course. Like, it happens all the time. Anyway, so I find it fascinating that people find this fascinating. 437-1620, 437-1620. This is a weird positive note about the world. Young people, for all of the other things that they sometimes get criticized for, apparently Gen Z's not big on drinking.
Well, good.
Right? So 40%...
So they weren't at that meeting in Santa Rosa County.
40% of adults say moderate drinking is bad for one's health, up from 28% from 4 years ago. 52% of the respondents who said that drinking is unhealthy, up from 34% among 18 to 34-year-olds. It's the biggest increase among any age group, and about 39% of middle age, 35 to 54, up from 13%. So a lot more people in general think that moderate drinking is bad for you, and a really high share of young people think that even moderate drinking is not good for your health.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. United Auto Workers are speeding towards a historic strike that could cost the U.S. economy more than $5 billion in just 10 days. North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un is reportedly planning to meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin,
where he will be urged by President Putin to supply Russia with artillery shells and anti-tank missiles. That would be in exchange for technology to advance satellites and nuclear-powered submarines in North Korea.
Alexandria Hoff, the news comes days before the president departs for the G20 summit in India. Thousands finally leaving Burning Man in the northern Nevada desert after being trapped by ankle-deep mud that was too thick to drive through.
A lot of these people you're seeing coming out of here made it, luckily, because they're running into each other and stuff because it's so slippery.
People were told to preserve food and water after a lot of rain fell in just 24 hours. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 right now, 77 degrees, mostly clear in Pensacola. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Nearly a week after Hurricane Idalia made landfall, local crews who aided in the recovery efforts are now starting their return home. Escambia Fire Rescue Battalion Chief Steve Booth tells Channel 3 that an 8-person crew spent the last few days aiding an urban search and rescue task force.
We assisted them with what they call wide area search and marking structures that were damaged from the storm throughout Madison County to include the town of Madison.
Some crews from Florida Power and Light have already returned home, as over 90% of the Florida customers who lost power are back on the grid. Governor Ron DeSantis announced yesterday that those who lost power in the storm have mostly had their power restored. PowerOutage.us reports the state still has over 20,000 outages, all in the Big Bend. Suwannee County has the most outages with over 6,000. A 21-year-old Crestview man is dead after a motorcycle crash in Okaloosa County early yesterday morning. The crash happened on State Road 293 just south of North Lakeshore Drive about 5 a.m. According to the Florida Highway Patrol, the motorcyclist failed to negotiate a curve in the roadway and struck the guardrail in the west shoulder. The motorcyclist was ejected from the bike and pronounced dead at the scene. No other injuries were involved. A massive multi-use development's coming to Escambia County on the corner of Interstate Pine Forest Road's exit. That's according to the Pensacola News Journal. Master site plans for the development say that it'll include multifamily housing, office and retail spaces, a medical facility, and a hotel hospitality development. The Waters at Ransley is the name. It's located off of Ransley Station Road. Will feature about 300 multifamily units across 15 buildings in the neighborhood, plus 16 different buildings for retail stores and restaurants, as well as office spaces. The planned medical facility is expected to be found in the part of the development that is closest to I-10. Progress continues. Oh, we just mentioned that story about restoring power after Hurricane Idalia. Looks like so far the crews are returning back to where they came from, and about 90% restored power is in the area that Idalia hit. Let's check our forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We will have scattered showers and thunderstorms throughout the day today. Temperatures in the 90s. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping into the 70s. As you go into Wednesday, we will have a chance at a few stray showers and thunderstorms. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies with temperatures in the low 90s. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping into the 70s. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, let's check in with Candy Culture. Richardson for traffic on the fives.
All right. Good news is we're not showing any of these slowdowns or delays. We're still watching 29 and 9 mile. It looks like the lights could be out. I'm not sure if they're still out. If they're completely out, it's a four-way stop. If it's yellow and red, of course, yellow has right away, but better be safe than be right. You know what I mean? So if you see an accident or a slowdown, you got traffic tips, text them in if you could. 437-1620 is the number. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Right now, 77 degrees in Pensacola, 78 in Gulf Breeze, and a nice cool 71 in Milton at 635. The next news is at 7, breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. IKEA's experiments with new store layouts produced a surprising result. Shoppers prefer its mazes. The Swedish furniture retailer over the past 5 years opened new urban stores that diverge from the typical IKEA store experience that guides customers on a winding course through showrooms devoted to different parts of the home. The new locations look more like standard department stores, but customer feedback indicates many shoppers crave the stores designed with mazes. The end of the pandemic-driven boom in e-commerce demand is rocking businesses that had jumped onto the online bandwagon. Bentinago, one of the slew of investment groups that acquire Amazon third-party sellers, just filed for bankruptcy less than 2 years after raising $325 million in funding. The company, part of a wing of the e-commerce market in which investors buy small Amazon sellers and run them as a group. On Wall Street, futures pointing to a modestly lower open this morning. That's Your Money Now.
Did you know China starts teaching financial literacy in preschool? American kids are getting left behind, but we can help at home thanks to The Sensibles, a team of animated superheroes who help kids develop smart money habits in a fun way. Each month, they get a kit in the mail with a DVD, a comic book, access to an interactive website, fun activities, and lots more. Visit bcs-kids.com today and enter promo code CENT for 20% off. Digital subscriptions also available. The Sensibles. It's the sensible thing to do.
I've been taking Nutrafol for about a year.
I've been taking Nutrafol just over 4.5 years.
My hair was thinning.
I just gave birth. I was under a lot of stress.
I like Nutrafol because it's drug-free and the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement.
My hair feels thicker.
Stronger.
The breakage is less.
Nutrafol has taken me back to the hair I was meant to have.
Join the 1 million people growing at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. At Anderson, we know Subarus are built better, and we're not the only ones who think so. Subarus earn more IIHS Top Safety Pick Plus awards than Honda, Toyota, or Hyundai brands since 2013 as of July 2023. When it comes to safety, Subarus are better. And when it comes to longevity, well, Subaru wins there too. According to a study by Experian Automotive, Subaru leads the industry in longevity with 96% of vehicles sold in the last 10 years still on the road today. More than Honda or Toyota brands. Hands down, Subaru has the longest lasting vehicles in the automotive industry, all of which makes it easy to love a Subaru from Anderson Subaru. Visit us on Highway 29 just north of Car City, Pensacola, or shop us online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Based on Experian Automotive non-luxury vehicles and operation excluding trucks and vans versus total new registrations for model years 2013 through 2022 as of December 2022.
Mom, can we have some ice cream?
I've got a better idea. Who wants to help me make something fun and healthy instead?
Me! Eating smarter is easy and delicious. Interested in receiving healthy recipes and a whole lot more in your email? Then register at healthiestweightfl.com and learn more about all the small steps that you can take on the way to living healthy. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will provide you with the latest forecasts and warnings from the National Hurricane Center. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will help you find resources for disaster relief. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will interview experts on hurricane preparedness and safety.
No one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3.
Mississippi putting it down. I'm the hottest round. I told y'all,
Y'all can't stop me now. Listen to me now. I'm lasting 20 rounds. And if you want me, then come on get me now. Is you with me now?
So I recommend an additional item number 92. And recommend removal of the alternative subdivisions in general. And that's the reason why I opposed that last one. So the motion.
Second?
Oh, go ahead.
Uh-oh.
Motion fails for a lack of a second.
So this is at the Planning and Zoning Board, or I guess it's just technically the Zoning Board. Anyway, this is the Land Development Code discussion that was had just... This is last Thursday, I think, Monday. I don't know. It doesn't really. No, it's just. Anyway, it was. The whole discussion was over the proposed changes to the Land Development Code. And this is a meeting I had put off watching because I knew it was long. And because there is a part of me that knows that if I start delving into the second and third layer of government meetings, I'll never get back out again. I just know me. And it's like, that's where the cheese is really getting made. And, you know, sure enough, there I am. I'm now watching the, you know, Tourism Development Commission. And now I'm going to have to be watching the... I know these... Zoning board meetings, like, I know if I get in there, that's going to be where it is. Okay, sure enough. So, or planning board. So here we go. But this is a conversation that I wanted to watch this in particular because I knew this is stuff that the commission had been talking about. And for about a year now, you got the Fowler family showing up at the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting saying, get rid of the alternative subdivision. And it has shown up again, and other people have said the same thing, and there's a whole lot of people that want to get rid of it. If you're not familiar, the concept of the alternative subdivision, the Jubilee law, if you want to call it that, is it allows you to take a parcel that's, let's say, 2,000 acres and take, you know, typically agricultural land is zoned for one structure per acre, one house per acre, so you could build 2,000 homes on the total 2,000, one per acre. Well, if you wanted to, for example, build 4 or 5 an acre or 7 an acre, you'd have to ask for what's called an upzoning. You'd have to go to the zoning board and you'd have to say, hey, I'd like to have higher density. And there'd be public notice and there'd be public comment and they could vote up or down on that. Well, the alternative subdivision plan allows you to accomplish higher density without having to go through a zoning board a request by clustering the aggregate density for the entire parcel of, say, 2,000 acres on just maybe these 200 acres. You have to put the rest of it in conservation status, and it can never be developed again, and there's a whole lot of stuff involved in how it can never be developed again. But this is why Jubilee was objected to, in part, was because not just 2,000 new homes, but 2,000, or, I mean, it's not 2,000, but I'm giving you a rough number. But it's because all those homes clustered on one portion of that giant property that will be close to a bunch of people who live in agricultural land, and they don't want the disturbance to their quality of life living in the one house per acre kind of place that would happen if you have 4, 5, or 7 houses per acre. That's the, like, short version of a longstanding argument. And it feels, and I agree, it's an upzoning without having to go through a zoning, and therefore I think it's wrong. But the request has repeatedly been get rid of it, get rid of it, get rid of it. Well, Chris Grimes at the planning board, he says, well, let's get rid of it. Nobody even seconded it. And this is on a board of, it's 9 people that were sitting in this room. So now that was actually at the end of the meeting. That was like the last thing that was tried. Earlier, before that, they did come up with something. They did come up with some kind of an improvement. Ed Carson, who you've heard on the show many times, has been on for the rap. He's a friend. He's a developer. Okay, that's not a dirty word. You live in houses and shop at strip malls and go to churches built by developers. But anyway, Ed Carson says, well, I think the real problem here is that it's not that we have to prohibit this density, but we should make this density be at some distance from the people who want to live in the one-acre home kind of concept of agricultural land.
When we're abutting a ag zoning area, I thought that perhaps if we made the requirement that there be 1-acre lot buffer, which they're essentially entitled to now, it would be a lot easier to stomach for somebody who's an adjacent property owner.
So what he's saying is, okay, maybe instead of trying to prevent the alternate subdivision plan, maybe what we do is we just say at the perimeter of the alternative subdivision, you've got to give them an acre of buffer. You know, you've got to put some kind of a barrier there. And that's a way to, you know, do it a little bit smarter than some of the other ones that we're seeing.
I do think that this is an opportunity for some more creative ways to lay out a subdivision. And I say that as I drive up 10 Mile Road. I mean, come on.
Yeah, no, he's not wrong about that. It's a hot mess. Anyway, so Aaron Williams, one of the members of the board.
That's how I feel. What I have on mine is that I would prefer it to be a 1 acre. I do agree that it does lend for some creativity with our builders and people that are developing property. But I do not agree with the ability of that builder or anyone to just infringe on the neighborhood, the neighbors that's next door.
Yeah, so again, there's a general sense on the board, that the zoning board, that they like the idea of the alternative subdivision, but I don't think that it should be able to be built right up next to existing rural housing. And so they're asking for something more than the half acre that is there now. And the 1 acre split or distance seems like a happy compromise to them. By the way, just to put this in perspective, 208 feet is an acre square. Okay, so and a half acre would be what squared would be somewhere in the like 120, 130 vicinity, I think. It's not 100 because that'd be a quarter. But in any case, so you know, it's not a lot. I mean, if you're like the Fowlers and you're looking at 200 feet between you and townhomes, that's a lot different than, you know, nothing. But if you could have had a house right next to yours and now you will at least have a 200-foot space between you and them, you know, there's something about it that makes sense. And it wasn't clear to me from this whether you'd be able to develop that 1 acre. I thought you had to have a 1 acre just blank space, but it might be that you could have a house on that 1 acre. And what they're saying is, okay, you expect to have one house per acre near you. We're going to allow one house per acre on the lot next to yours, and then after that, we can kind of do whatever we want according to this concept. Now, Derek Sammons, and I like the way this guy thinks. He says, you know, acres is not a good way to measure this. You should measure it based on distance because...
That brings up a question I had. I'm not sure how you can use a lot size as a buffer because in theory, one foot wide by 43,560 feet long would be a 1 acre buffer.
Yeah, because acre is a square, right, as a surface area, as opposed to a distance. And, you know, somebody's going to put like, 2 feet wide, 20,000 feet long, 1 acre buffer that's only really in effect 2 feet. So really, you know, you ought to put it in terms of distance rather than lot size. The chair of the board, Anna Weaver, she agreed they like this concept of a 1 acre buffer, increasing it from a half acre buffer. We'll come back to this in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
I'm not showing any slowdowns at 9.5, or rather 9 mile and 29. So it may have cleared up. There was a light issue where the light was completely out. So be careful in that area and wherever you are. Not showing any other slowdowns right now. This is brought to you by Indeed.com. Meaning to hire, find great people fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit. If you see an accident or a slowdown, text in your traffic tips, 437-1620. Be careful on the roads. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Yeah. So back to the zoning board meeting, the discussion about changing the alternative subdivision plan within the land development code. Aaron Williams, again, kind of asked for clarification.
The alternative subdivision, as I understand, just if you have 200 acres, that means you can put 200 houses, and you can cluster those homes into any step, any size lots you want. Correct? All right. So, what happens? Just say you only utilize 20 acres. You have another 180 acres. Correct? Is that additional? That other 180 acres is that? What is that considered now? Is my question.
At that point, it's considered conservation or agricultural preservation.
That's Sean Ward, the director of planning.
And that's permanent to where the person can't come back and say, well, I want to develop this 180 and change the zone so I can add more houses.
That is correct.
And by the way, that's been one of the things that they've talked about quite a bit is, you know, people, the critics have been saying, you could come back in and you could, you know, change things after the fact to turn the conservation land into, you know, something else, in which case you would net add density over the one home per acre, and particularly for the 2,700 acres of Jubilee, they're talking about this. But Sean Ward says, look, there's numerous places on the document where this will be noted, that this is conservation status.
And just to help clarify that, if you look at number 8, number 11, number 12, number 13, there's multiple references to this will be noted on the plat.
This is Brad Baker.
So this is, you know, it notes right there, this area is to remain vacant based on the approved plat boundary and the requirement of the alternative subdivision. You're noting that the dedication of conservation is on the plat. You're noting that this plat is being created using this section, and then you're noting that the total density as allowed by Santa Rosa Land Development Code has been utilized.
Yeah, and you know, that's part of the idea, is that it will be repeatedly noted on there. And there was another, it came up in a little bit different conversation when they were talking about clear cutting. But it was interesting because I hadn't heard it quite made this way, that because it's going to preserve like wetlands with, you know, you could maybe develop wetlands now by filling them in. This actually winds up preserving some of the water runoff and the natural areas that would otherwise be vulnerable if you don't have the alternative subdivision.
As we talk about wetlands and how do we preserve them, this is the perfect way, because there are avenues for the developers to go mitigate that and fill it in. And we would prefer that the wetlands be there and serve their normal filtration purpose with stormwater drainage, et cetera. So this is an example of a route that they could still develop to the density level while preserving that wetlands. And I think that's an important note as we talk about all the environmental things that we're trying to do in this county.
Yeah, and that's, again, that's an argument that I hadn't heard. I'm always trying to pay attention to new ideas that I haven't acquired before. So in the end, Aaron Williams proposed it, you know, going to the 1 acre buffer. And how did that turn out?
I would like to make a recommendation that we amend line item 56 to go from half acre adjacent lots to 1 acre adjacent lots.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Are we voting with our arms again?
All in favor? Opposed? Oh, opposed, keep your hands up. All right. So that recommendation will go forth to the board for the 1 acre lots abutting alternative subdivisions.
Now, again, that's not final until the Board of County Commissioners votes to enact that. They have the ultimate say, which is good because they are the ones who are actually elected by the people. By the way, I don't know why on this particular board they don't announce the vote tally. I actually like it. One of the things that, you know, Mayor Lindsay in Milton always does that I like, and also Escambia County Commission typically, they announce the vote and who voted in dissent. In this case, it was a 5-4 vote. Like, it was very close.
Yeah.
So you had Chris Grimes. He's the one who wanted to get rid of the alternate subdivision entirely. Gage Holland, Joe McConnell, and Derek Sammons voted against. Okay. So they voted against having a larger buffer. Chris voted against it because he wants no thing at all. Okay. So 1 acre is not enough for him. He wants no alternate subdivision plan at all. So that means that there are four members of the board, three members of the board who want just like it is right now. One member who wants it not at all, and then the five who are happy with this slight improvement. And it is a slight improvement. It didn't make it worse. If it gets passed by the county commission, this would create some buffer for the people who live in that area. Again, a lot of emphasis on Santa Rosa in all of this, but it's because Escambia is going to be going through maybe land development code revision. And some of these same principles, you know, it doesn't have the same concept in there, but, you know, thinking about this, and even, you know, Pensacola, City of Pensacola is going to be going through an LDC. They're going through a high-level review right now. They might go through a full review of this later and really thinking through some of these things, like, what about clear cutting and what about billboards and what about the distance for bars? You know, those are all things that are into the land development code. 653 on News Radio 92.3. So I would say a very mild win in one step of the process for the people who have been trying to, you know, oppose some of what's going on at Jubilee with the alternative subdivision plan. 653 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
It's not too late. Enroll today for fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free. That's right, loan-free. PSC offers more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that works best for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for fall classes today at pensacolastate.edu. Go here, get there. Pensacola State College.
Hurricane season is here, and Gulf Breeze Natural Gas helps provide the most reliable energy source. There are advantages to having natural gas in your home or business. Major storms typically do not cause widespread outages because gas lines are buried and protected. Most appliances, including cooking and hot water, still work during electrical outages. A gas generator gets everything back up and running within 30 seconds. That's the length of this commercial. Learn more about how to be best prepared at GulfBreezeNaturalGas.com.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at David's Catfish House. David's Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish and fresh Gulf seafood, as well as generous portions of southern sides. Every Tuesday is two times Tuesday. Buy the six-piece shrimp dinner and get six more shrimp for free every Tuesday. Wednesday is lunch special day. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton and New Warrington Road in Pensacola. Welcome to David's, where southern and seafood meet.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to four messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie. It's like headline news for radio. Every day, 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
My heart only runs on Supreme.
Ella le gusta la gasolina.
Kind of parking in a gas station.
I can't drive 55.
Gas 381, Florida average 367. That's actually down, I don't know, 5 or 8 cents, something like that. It's still 367, so I'm not excited, but it is down. 328 in Mississippi is the best. California is 532. That's the worst. In Navarre, 339 east of the Walmart, 338 west at the other Walmart, 333 at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge, 355 in proper. In Milton, 335 at the CEFCO, 334 at the Pea Ridge Murphy, and 339 through Pace. In on into Pensacola, 327 at the Neighborhood Market Walmart on Highway 90, 9 Mile, 327 on US 29 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart there. And coming in from the southwest side, 338 out of your neighbor's gas can. No, just kidding. the Navy Boulevard Murphy has that price. 656 on News. Stealing's cheaper. 656 on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
All right, do not steal gas.
No, don't steal.
Have
gas.
Have you ever done? Never mind. I'm sure you haven't.
I have never siphoned either, like out of
that
my, you know, out of one
question.
Tank,
yeah,
to get to, like, if a car's out or something
mouth,
like that.
It's just
that's
like,
I'm look. I know how hard it is to get the gas stench off your fingers.
Yes, right.
And I am terrified to ever get it on my tongue for that exact reason.
There was this family near where I like grew up and stuff, and they were always like, whenever they were out of gas, they would siphon out of each other's tanks, and it was like they all lived in one trailer. We were great friends. That sounds
why
awful.
Is that why is that relevant?
I know. It was just...
what do you have against trailer people?
I'm a trailer person.
Me too.
I get it. I love trailers. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that there was like all these people together and all their boyfriends and girlfriends, and they would always siphon.
Not the stereotype.
Like, yeah. No,
it's not a stereotype if it's a fact.
I hate that family. Anyway, they're in New York. Nobody will see them. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, do not steal gas. And we do have one thing that we're watching. This is Highway 98. It looks like an Anderson Avenue in Gulf Breeze, but not showing a roadblock this morning, so you shouldn't have too many problems getting where you're going. 437-1620, if you have traffic tips, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Steve,
I hated their mom.
Steve Taylor is in the newsroom this morning for David Wayne. Steve, what's going on?
Well, Congress is set to return to Washington, D.C. today after the summer recess. There are a number of issues on the agenda, including a potential government shutdown looming in the next few weeks. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell could address his health situation, though, after another freezing moment. Last week, the 81-year-old suddenly stopped speaking at a press event in Kentucky, and an aide had to step in.
Well, thank goodness the Congress is back in session. They can get to work again doing all the things that make our lives better.
Of course. And chickens have lips. Too much screen time is being linked to developmental delays in children. That's according to a new study. Researchers looked at data from 7,000 kids, found that 2 or more hours of screen time increased the likelihood of developmental delays, especially problem solving and communication. In infants, screen time was linked to developmental delays and also problems with social skills and motor skills. Infants getting screen time.
Oh yeah, no, they'll put anybody in front of a screen these days. And by the way, there was a great book back in the 80s, The Plug-In Drug by Marie Wynn, and she said it's not what the screens are doing, it's what the kids aren't doing when they're on the screens. That's what they're missing out on it developmentally. David, thanks so much for the update. A quick future news here. Will the storm get named? Will it come here?
Yes and no. It will not come here.
And is Clemson going to go out of the rankings after
losing
to Duke?
92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.